Hello, everybody. It's Michelle Collins. It's Midnight Snack, a title we came up with quite hastily, and now I have to say it every week. Sometimes I'm like, ugh, so many other great title ideas out there, but okay, Midnight Snack it is. Welcome to the show. I'm Michelle Collins. I'm here with Dan Acton. Why are you laughing? Because of the way I'm sitting. I feel like I'm at a sleepover. I have no makeup on. My hair is in a messy bun. It is clean, though, but it is in a high, messy bun. And I do nothing. I do nothing but lay by the pool and eat and go to Target and self-tan. So I tan and then can I show you my new self-tanner, Dan? Are you ready?
Yes.
I look like Alex Rodriguez from the waist down. Are you ready? Very good thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you can tell. Look how brown my leg is. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. Yeah.
It's so dark, and that's on the Zoom. My leg is navy brown. I used a self-tanner yesterday that I didn't realize you had to wash off after an hour, and then it's still cured. So I had it on for 4 hours, and I'm like, my legs look amazing. I was like, oh, they really look good. And then I rinsed it off, and I woke up this morning, and they were like two Tootsie Rolls. I'm like, all right. I can't wait. Anyway, hi, Danny. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling great.
Really?
It's great weather out. Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm all right. Nothing has really changed other than I did come to New York last week for a genuine quickie. I mean, it was such a quick trip. I think how do I put it? Like the trip from hell. I'm trying to think of ways to put it where I was there for one night only. Hashtag J-HUD. You want all my love. You know that song? And my devotion. You won't. I love J-HUD and Dream Girls. Mama. I love when she goes deep. Look at me. Look. You know that part? At me. She's like so feminine and then comes through with that guttural moan. That should have been the name of the podcast.
Guttural moan.
Guttural moans. Guttural wails. That would have been a good one. Anyway, Dan, you and I saw each other because I took you to a celebratory birthday dinner.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much. I had a great time.
It was, I would say one of the few highlights. I had a lovely evening that night. I love getting dressed up and I love class. I love places that reek with class to the point where you're holding your nose and you're going, look, it stinks class.
It was overboard class. Yeah.
That is like where I'm at my happiest. I'm like, hobnobbing amongst the elite, just like the master of the house that I am. Yes.
Well, I very, very rarely go into a restaurant where as soon as you walk in, everybody is staring at you, not because you're whatever, but just because
whatever.
Like, who could it be?
You can say gorgeous, Dan. I'm right here.
Because we are.
Not because you're whatever. You mean gorgeous, obviously. How dare you?
Conventionally gorgeous.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. That was a read. Go on.
Wait, no.
Okay. It's actually rude. Yeah, it is. To say sarcastically conventionally gorgeous. Yes. Go on.
No, I'm saying it straight. Anyway, no, but it was fun to go to a place where people are looking just because when the door opens, like somebody amazing might come in.
It's so exciting.
All eyes are on us.
Oh, all eyes on us. Well, here, I'm going to take you through my 40. It wasn't even 48 hours. It was like 36 hours in New York. It cost me about $14,000. Something happened. I was like, oh, my God. I landed. Car picked me up. That was fine. Flight was okay. I'm trying to think. It was an early... Oh, I have a great story. It was an early morning flight. So it was a 7 a.m. I sort of liked it because it almost didn't happen. Like, it's almost like it was a dream. When you're up that early to get on a plane...
Yeah.
Was I even awake? Like, what?
Right.
It's 10 a.m. and I'm in a new state. Okay. Like, I don't know how that works, but that's what happened. So, got in a car, came into the city, got to my hotel. I was supposed to stay at a hotel in Midtown. Now, you know that I really pride myself on travel. Like, I take great pride in finding great hotels at good prices and, like, just worming my way. I love it.
Yeah, you know how to do it. Yeah.
I think I do. I pretty much, I'm like 90% success rate, but I fuck up now and again, certainly. Well, I get to the hotel with my massive 50-pound luggage. By the way, I'm there one night doing the Today Show last week, which was a real dream. That was the other highlight, by the way, but we'll get to that. And I show up and they're like, hello, this girl with like long purple hair. It's Elvira. She's like so nice. She goes, hi, oh, hi, last name Collins. She's like, click, click, click. Mm. Collins with the C? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, like,
that's right.
We don't have a reservation for you. And I'm like, now, you know, I have to say that the privilege here is that, like, even though I ended up getting fucked financially, I could afford it. You know, I wasn't like on the street. I was thinking about it. Think about it. If you're watching every dime and all of a sudden you have to pay like twice as much for a room last minute. I mean, that sucks.
Yeah. You would have had to come over here.
I would have, by the way. I didn't get the invite, listener. I did not get the invite to go to dance.
I didn't know. Bring your 25-pound kettlebells. I'll get that for you.
That's what's in there. Two kettlebells. That's what I wore in the Today Show. That's so funny you say that. On a long string around my neck.
B-E-L-L-E-S. That's a good segment name.
Ooh, that is good. And it's about tea. It's like about tea service. Kettlebells.
Right. Yes. Yes.
It's about serving tea in the South. Welcome to another piping hot episode of Kettlebells, where we walk you through the greatest tea mixtures, all the leaves that's fit to drink. Anyway, so she's like, we don't have a reservation. I'm like, I don't believe it. So I park my ass on like a marble edge at the front. Like, they have a couch, but I can't explain it. I couldn't fully sit. Like, I had to lean. Like, there's some physically it was a leaning moment. It was not like a, let me settle into this vinyl couch.
No. You have to apply a little bit of pressure. You have to you can't just relax.
No, do you get it? And there was another girl working there. God bless her. Everybody was like, I don't know what's happened to this, to the city. Everybody was trying their best to be nice, but the overall effect was like unbelievably obnoxious. Like, it was, do you know what I mean? It was just everyone doing their best.
Nobody's used to it anymore. Yeah. So, I mean, that's my entire social life now, by the way, is trying to like make conversation that I'm so like out of it. I think everybody's like,
meanwhile, he's like co-hosting this podcast with me. You're like, that's my whole life. Just getting through it, suffering, suffering through conversation. Can't even string a sentence together, people. You know, so wait, so I'm like leaning and, you know, the marble ledge is like creating a 90 degree angle in my ass fat. You know, it's like that. It's that kind of a ledge where I'm like wedging my body against it. And this other girl, I like the original girl who helped me. This other lady comes over and she's like, hey, you comfortable there? And I was like, very. She goes, wouldn't you be more comfortable on this couch? And I was and at this point I'm about to like scream because every room is like $600. I'm like, no, I actually, I would be more comfortable like slicing my throat open. I'm kidding. Edit that out because of how expensive this shit is. So I go, no. I said, am I bothering you here? Because it was like, I don't know. It was tense.
You're like elf on the shelf. Just like eyeball.
Wait, it's shell on the shelf. That is so funny. We should make that for Hanukkah. Forget that rabbi. It's shell on the shelf, and it's just, but it's like really long. It like my feet touch the ground from the mantle. We're like, it's so scary. It scares too many kids. We have to do a recall. It's like I'm too big to put on the mantle, so they have to like hide me behind the tree. They're like, where can we put her? Anyway, that's so funny. So I get another room at this other hotel, which is nearly five blocks away, listener. So I'm like, okay, I can wheel.
Okay.
I'm going to give a plug because, you know, I love to give plugs about things I love. I have two Travel Pro suitcases. They're nylon. They're not the hard. I'm not a hard shell girl. I actually bought a hard shell and it got damaged the first time I put it on a plane. So I'm like over the hard shells. It is the best suitcase. I love it so much. It's light. It's so easy to maneuver. It makes my life easier. I think it's worth bringing up. Yes. So I wheel it five blocks and I'm like already huffing and puffing. It's like hot out. I'm all in black. Like, I'm just like, what am I doing? Get to the new hotel. Yeah. And I'm really nice. Like, of course. I like to think I'm always nice until I get pushed, and that's where we're getting.
But it's also like exhausted.
I'm so tired.
So
I'm so tired. So I get to the hotel and they're like, hi. There's a different girl there. She was sweet. She's like, hi. I said, oh, hi. Oh my God. This day. Like, I just had to book it on. And here's the bullshit. I think I paid like $460 a night on Hotels Tonight. Mm-hmm. And then when I signed the thing at the hotel, they only charged $320, which I'm like, and I said, wait, is this what I'm getting charged? And the girl was like, that's what you're getting charged. And then when I checked out after this story I'm about to tell you, I said, so hold on. Was I charged $460 or $320? And they were like, no, you were charged Hotels Tonight because they charge a commission. I'm like, $160 commission, whatever. Sucks. So I got fucked, as always. So wait. So I say, hey, can I leave my bags here? Because, of course, classic Mish, I'm going to beeline down to the sample sale, meeting my friend Lindsay Lavin at the Stony Clover Lane sample sale, which, by the way, they sell makeup bags. I literally beelined from Newark to my 9 hotels to go by. And I will tell you, it was worth it. I got some really beautiful makeup bags and I'm glad I went. But we'll get to that. So I say, hey, can I leave my bags here? They're like, sure. Beeline to Stony Cloves. And I say, if you don't mind, Anyway, go to the sale. As I'm in line for the sale, by the way, this woman, we're online for like 20 minutes. This lady walks out, like 25-year-old girl with a neon yellow duffel bag. It's like really pretty. And I went, and she had Miami vibes. I can say that because I'm from here. She went, I said, oh, love your bag, you know, because I'm annoying. I know that I'm annoying. I know. I'm like, you know, the sign, like, don't feed the animals. Like, they have to put that in front of my eyes. Like, don't talk to strangers. I talked to everybody and I went, ooh, and I meant it all. It was like a really nice bag. I went, ooh. I was like really upset. I went, ooh, love your bag.
Conventionally nice bag.
It was a conventionally gorgeous duffel bag. That's also how I've been described. And she goes, bitch. I'm like, and I didn't even, my friend Lindsay heard it. I actually was like, oh, I love the bag. And Lindsay goes, she just called you a bitch. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I'm like, what? And then I turned. And you know that I also, like, I will engage in a fight. That's my problem. And I went, oh my God, you called me a bitch? I like your bag. And she, like, wouldn't look at me. And Lindsay was like, just take it easy, girl. Take it easy, big fella. Like, don't. And I'm like, okay, this city is already, like, not, this is not two strikes.
That's cuckoo. Yeah.
Right. We go inside, grab some makeup bags. Shout out to the people working at 260 sample sale. They were so nice. They're dealing with, as you can tell, literal animals all day. They could not have been lovelier. Even the bag check, I remembered me. Like, everyone was so sweet. Love that whole crew. So I buy some stuff. Fine. Now I go back to the hotel. I'm going to do Sirius XM, the Today Show Radio, with the crew, happy hour with the crew who produces Hoda and Jenna, who I love, by the way, Talia, Gavin, and Donna. They're so much fun. Everyone who works there is amazing. So get there, do it. All of a sudden, I have to use the ladies' room so badly. And I'm like, I have to go back to the hotel. So I beeline. I'm done with the show. I'm like on a Segway, like Paul Blart, like beelining to the shit ass hotel. Get there, go, I use the ladies' room. And I notice my bags aren't in the room. And I'm like, oh, he must have forgotten to bring them up. I pick up the phone to dial like the operator, you know, no line on the phone. It's like no country for old men. Phone's not working. I'm like, okay. Oh, and the room they put me in for my nearly $500 thing was right next to, it had a balcony. It was almost like in Coming to America, like had a balcony that faced a massive air conditioning generator from the building next door. So like at one point I walked out and it was just like, zzz, like loud air. I'm like, I hate this town so much. So I go down, but I'm like, it's one night. Like it's one night only. You can do it. Who gives a fuck? Whatever. Yeah. So I go downstairs and I'm like, hey, like he didn't bring my bags. And they were like, oh, okay. And she goes, well, what? Now it's a new girl working. She goes, well, what are your bags? I go, it's a luggage and a tote. My laptop's in there, you know, all this stuff. Right. She goes, she comes out with like a Lululemon bag and like a little carry on. And I'm like, if only that was my life. Like I would be, if that were my life, if I was the kind of girl who traveled with a Lululemon tote and a carry on bag, everything about my life would be different. Like for the better. Everything. Yeah. I'd be probably even more conventionally gorgeous, Dan. I would, you know, because it would mean that my clothes could fit in that tiny little bag. I need a big ass bag for my clothes, right? So wait.
You should have grabbed it. This was like a chance for a new sliding doors or whatever. That is my bag.
I do the Today Show in a size 6 Lululemon capri legging, gut out. I'm like, this is me. This is my new life. This is so funny. I'm like, Hoda and Jenna, like, are you okay? I'm like, I've actually never been better. Thank you for asking. I'm more than okay. I'm incredible. Thank you. So she goes and she goes, oh, that's weird. And I go, well, let me come with you to show you, because I didn't bring my ticket down because I just ran because my fucking phone wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I go down and they're like, it's not in there, Dan. My bags are not in that room. I'm like, okay. Go, well, if they're not in my, and they were not in my room. I even looked in the closet. Like I looked, you know, to see maybe tucked in somewhere. They were not there.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. If they're not in the luggage room and they're not in my room, the only two things that are possible is that someone took them from the lobby after I left, which is possible. It's, we're in 46th Street. Okay. Do your,
well, they might be in the Lululemon woman's room.
Hold on a minute. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or he put them in someone else's room. And now I don't know who, you know, if I walked into a room and there was strange luggage, and it's actually happened to me before with like a bag, I've called down, they've taken it. It is not there.
Oh yeah.
It's happened. But you never know. I had a MacBook in there, brand new stunning dresses. If there was another size 11 footed woman, she fucking struck gold, baby, with the stuff I had in that luggage. You know, I had my Vax cards were in there, like all the shit that I needed, you know?
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like sitting and I'm like, I'm going to be calm. Now I have to say, and I hope she's not listening. The girl who works there, she's very well intentioned is what I'll say about her. She means very, very well, but she's very friendly, and friendly to a point where I don't think she understands that sometimes the friendliness is like, I just need you to find it and just please like, don't poke the bear.
It doesn't help. Yeah, it doesn't help to, I've done customer service before. You kind of want to mirror what the person you're helping.
Exactly.
You want to kind of mirror their concern and whatever.
And
it's
was
not your
like,
job to be like friendly 1,000%.
She kept saying over and over, like, don't worry, it's here somewhere. And I'm like, but you don't know where. Then she gets a call because the guy was on break, the bellman. She gets a call and she's like, I see. Right. Okay. Hangs up. Dan. And I'm like, and I feel, you know, listen, I'm very honest, meaning I'm friendly 99% of the time, but I also was like, I'm going to get filmed and canceled. Like I was like, my hands were like this. I was shaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, he doesn't know where it is. And she went, no. Now, listener, put yourself in my shoes, my massive canoe shaped shoes for a moment.
Room for one more.
Table for two, my shoes. What would you do in this situation? I was like, okay, well, I think what I said was, okay, well, you guys are going to have to come with me to Saks and buy me my makeup, my clothes, because I have to be on TV in the morning. Whoa. And I wasn't like pulling a, you know, a, do you know who my father is? It wasn't one of those. Literally, I came here for this, you know?
Yeah, to be filmed. Yeah, you need to look.
I need my stuff, which, by the way, it takes me years to procure things that look good on me on television because I don't have a stylist. I do it myself. So it's like, and it's expensive. I wear nice things. So I'm like, I'm like shaking. And I'm like, this has never happened to me in my years of traveling. I need like where I do need. I couldn't like, God bless her. She really has a good heart, this girl. I couldn't look at her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this person is going to send me into a flying rage. I need someone who's going to calm me down. And she wasn't doing that.
We'll have like levels and it like overflows and overflows and overflows. And at a certain point, it's just like, okay, I'm crazy.
I snapped. Like, it was that for me between the phone not working and like the and listen, the hotel room thing was my fault 100%. But like all of it, it was all like, I'm going to snap. Like, it's happening. I feel it. It's happening. It's happening. So, like, what am I going to wear? One of the makeup bags I bought? I mean, I'm asking. That's all I had in the room. Okay. So
it's Roger Rabbit with the shaving a haircut knock. You're like going crazy, eyes bulging. I have to answer it.
I go in the dip, come out. I'm a skeleton. I'm like, listen, I need my stuff. So I go, and there was there were two managers working, a very handsome, I assume tall gay guy who worked there. Really good looking. You actually should stay there a night. Wink, wink. It was like very White Lotus energy from him. And then this lovely woman who was like Eastern European, who was really nice. They were nice, you know, but I was like, listen, come on. I go, are you kidding me here? I'm like, this never happened to me. Also the stress of it all. It's too much.
Yeah. What can you do? Yeah.
So she goes, one second. She goes into a different room altogether, Dan, not the luggage room, like an office next door, opens the door, and there's my suitcase with my tote bag. And I'm like, why? What is this? Like, what's the guy's name that I hate? Yakety Sax. Who's that?
Benny Hill?
Yeah. What is this?
I thought you were going to say, is this a What Would You Do or something?
Oh, my God. Oh, if John Quinones had busted his ass out. I love John Quinones so much. Did he hit on me once? He sure did. He may be married. I don't even know. I got a vibe from him. I'm just going to say it. What?
What did you do?
That's funny. Yes, there should be an episode dedicated to whether or not John cheats on his wife. Is he even married? I literally don't know. What would you do? It's called What Would You Do? And it's me at a sample sale in camera. I was like, how much is she going to buy? Listen, the point is they had it, but I was like so stressed. So the way it gets worse. So then I go upstairs and now I have my stuff and I'm still like literally my adrenaline. I had wanted to nap. I was up at 4 a.m. I had drinks with someone. I was seeing you for dinner. I was like, I need to rest. I'm like shaking. Yeah. I'm trying to talk myself off the ledge. You're going to shit. So I put my pajamas on. It's like 4:30. AC generator blowing hot wind in my face. I go under the covers. I'm just closing my eyes and I hear at the door. Bang, bang, bang. Wait. And I'm like, it can't be. It can't be. And I hear bang, bang, bang again, like SS, like Nazi banging. And I'm like, who is it? And it's that fucking girl from the front. She goes, we just want to leave something for you. Mind you, I am like in under the cubbies, Elmo eyes, hair a mess. Like, please let me just sleep. And I'm like, just leave it outside. Please, like, let a woman live, you know? And she goes, okay, sorry. I just wanted to be okay. Like, you know, she doesn't know how to act. Yeah. So then she left. Anyway, I cracked the door open. It's like a mini bottle of champagne, which I don't drink, and 2 little chocolate bars. Great. Just what I need. So I'm like, okay, thanks. Meanwhile, I'm like, how about you cut the room price in half, you fucks? Like, I don't need this bullshit, you know? Which they couldn't do. And I did ask when I checked out. I said, listen, I know that you are only getting $320 of that. I'm like, that's not right. Like, they go, this is total bullshit. They were like, well, you paid already. We can't do anything. I was like, mm-hmm.
What? That's right. Oh, no.
They gave me
nothing.
Yes.
Wow. No free night? No voucher?
One of the female managers said, if you want to come back, we'll take care of you. And I'm like, that's like literally what they say when you leave Auschwitz, like when the camp was liberated. Like, listen, we'll take care of you if you want to come back. My grandmother was in Auschwitz. I can say it. Now listen. So finally I nap. Also, the room was pitch black. Couldn't even do my makeup fine. Then I had a drink. We met at Polo.
Yes.
We did have, I think, a phenomenal time. I really had fun with you.
I had a great night. No, it was so fun. I haven't been to a fancy restaurant in a long time.
Do you remember the guy sitting next to us?
Oh, yeah. He looked a little bit like Stan Lee. Like he older, looked, but like just like megawatt choppers, like sunglasses, yes.
Dark
skin. Like Ghost Rider skull. Like you can tell what the skull is like.
You know who he looked like? Walter. What's that guy from Uncut Gems? The guy at the end of Uncut Gems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looked just to Walter Diamond or something. He looked just like that guy, and he had this big crocodile bomber jacket on, full of like LA Lakers patches. I'm like, okay, Wayne Diamond, that's that guy's name. I'm like, okay, this is somebody, but it wasn't Wayne, and he was there with kind of like a Coney Island Kardashian, like if Coney Island sold Kardashian dolls,
totally,
like off brand. Like the eyes are a little cross, a little heavier. Pretty girl. I way out of his league physically. I mean, my God, like the guy, you know. Anyway, I found out later that he's like this famous jacket designer who has like 4 million Instagram followers, which is just funny. It's so Polo Bar. But how nice were the people there? Everyone remembered me. They were so sweet to us.
Very fun. Yeah, they did remember you, actually. It was very cool. We got the best seat.
My table.
Yeah, just a corner, full view of just about everybody in the bar. The back of somebody that we thought was Ryan Reynolds.
Remember
back
that?
And forth for about 20 minutes.
And he kind of looked at me and I was like, Ryan Reynolds is 100% looking at us. And then they left. But he was like skinnier. And I was like, is that him? And then we asked our waiter and the waiter was like, he literally works for Ralph Lauren. His name is Josh or something. I was like, oops. Like I would have 100% said we saw Ryan Reynolds today. Had it not been for that waiter correcting me. Anyway, next morning, I go, I feel like I'm really enjoying telling the story. May I just say, next morning I go to Today Show. No complaints. They're the best. I mean, listen. I shouldn't curse. Bleep me on that. They're too classy for that. They are the best. Hoda and Jenna, I don't think two more welcoming people exist in the industry. Just, I don't know how to put it.
That's
like,
cool.
You know, when you're
That's
with cool. someone, you're like, okay, these are like with you, like, these are my friends. Like, okay. You know, what you see is what
it's
you
just
get.
Like easy.
It's
yep.
That is who they are. They're phenomenal. They were so much fun. They were so nice to me. Did the segment afterwards. Was like putzing around a little bit. And at one point I got like duty on my bag at one point. Oh God. Like someone like I got like either bird shit or something on this tote bag I had. And then I was trying to find a place to wipe it down. And there were like no benches left in New York. And so I went to Time Warner Center and this old man like elbowed me. And when I said, excuse me, he was like, go around me. I'm like, everybody
what?
Has lost their mind.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think you understand. And I went, you have some very serious anger problems. So meanwhile, by the way, pot meat kettle. Hello. So, okay. So fast forward now, I pack up my things. The hotel is like, good night and good luck. We're doing nothing for you. I get in. The car that the Today Show booked for me canceled. So I had to get an Uber. Fine.
Oh no.
It's a whole thing. So I get to Newark, got there early. New York was actually great. I had no problems there. My flight was delayed like an hour or two, but I don't mind airports, weirdly. I like, if any place where you can have a wine and like stare at people, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah, Newark is kind of easy to like hang out in for a while.
I love Newark. It's my favorite of the New York airports. Yeah. So the end of my story, Dan, and then I want to talk about the thing you sent, is that we get to the, or I get on the plane. Everybody is so nice. I love United, as you know. But I step on the plane and there's a flight attendant who I see his name tag and it says Portuguese. I'm like, oh, I love the name. And he goes, oh, I love you. Like he knew me, which is always nice.
Oh,
I really,
nice.
I really do well with flight attendants. They always know me. And I go, oh, I said, can I have an extra United wipe? Because they have these alcohol wipes that they give to everyone that are the best. Actually, I used it to wipe the duty off my tote. That's right. They're the best. Keep one in your purse. They're always so perfectly soaked. They're so clean feeling. I love these wipes and they're big.
They should call it a duty free because they have it at the airport.
I love you so much. God, you know, Dan, my voice goes up every time you make a joke. Dan, honestly, killing me.
It's really stupid. Yeah.
So anyway, I get to my seat. I'm in and the lady who was there was so sweet. Everyone's so friendly. I'm like, oh, my people, like, finally, I'm leaving New York, you know, sitting in the window of the emergency exit row, which I call business class for the poor. And
that's the one that I always try to pick.
Yeah, it's the best seat.
By the way. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Best seat in the house. Window, you have more room.
Yeah.
Can I make an argument that if you want to sleep, I think it's a better seat than business because business, you can't lean against the wall. And sure. Here you can really curl up in that wall. It's really nice.
Yeah. And it's like a $35 upgrade. It's like,
that's my seat. So there's kind of another Coney Island Kardashian sitting in the aisle and she's very antsy. Like she just can't wait to get up. Her energy really bothered me. Turns out she wanted to swap seats with the guy next to her boyfriend. Fine by me. So this very lovely guy comes to the aisle and we have no one in between us. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to jinx it, but kink, 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 you know, like, like, and slowly more and more people are filing down the aisle of the plane. It's really getting busy. And there's a gentleman about four or five rows up, also window, like my seat, who has tattoos on his face. And the flight attendants come over to him.
These are the same people.
As what?
That looked after you in London.
Wait, who?
The people that looked after you in London, like, don't you remember? They stopped in and made sure that you were okay.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. On Oxford Street. Yes, on Oxford Street. That's right. Well, yes, exactly. I know. Face tatted people. You're right. Oh, my God. I was like, who is it? Because I've been chased literally so many times in London. I was like, which time when I was being followed in London did someone? Oh, my God. Yes. When I went into Primark. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. They were so nice, those boys. Well, so this guy, maybe actually, you know what? Okay, funny you say that because I didn't even connect this, but hear me out. So the attendant goes over and the gate agent and is like, you need to get out of your seat. We've double booked the seat. And I swear people were filming this. Don't even ask. And this guy was like, I fucking paid for the seat. I paid for the seat. I paid for it. I'm sitting at 15F. I remember. He's like, 15F. That's my seat. And they're like, no, we have to put you in a different seat. Now, listen, I'm on the guy's side. I'm on the guy's side. If they double booked it and he's in that seat first, I don't care what the code says. He was there first. The other person has to change seats.
Yeah. How do you double book it, by the way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They fucked up.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you where he fucked up. I'm going to tell you something funny. So they say to him, so now I'm, and the guy is up and he's cursing. There's like, now it's like a melee on the plane. He's cursing. He's like, fuck this. And they bring him to the back of the plane. And I'm like, oh my God, like they're going to pull him off the plane. Like they're going to, he's going to get arrested because he was really like losing his shit. And I hate to say it, but also because of the face tattoos, I don't think there was like an immediate trust built between him and the people working there. There's like automatic, not for me. So I'm looking at this nice new guy who's sitting next to me and we became friends. Like I gave him gum, you know, I'm always nice. And I always give gum. That's my move. I'm like, do you want gum? They always say yes. It's how I befriend the people on the plane. So, they're walking this guy up and I'm like, he's for sure coming between us. I'm like, there's no, it's by far the last seat on the plane. Like,
yeah,
sure enough. And he kind of reeks of weed. They put him down right in between us. And I like immediately, and he's really fired up. And I'm like, I immediately take the part of like negotiator where I'm like, this is a better seat. I go, listen, I go, it's fucked up, but I go, you got a better seat. You got the two nicest people on the plane here. Let's just have a nice flight. It's so late. We've been delayed. Good. I'm like, just, I'm like really talking him off the ledge. And he's like, no, I know. And he's like, but it's fucked. He's so angry. And I'm like, I get it.
It is.
I agree. I go, you're right. But let's just go home. And really what I wanted to tell him is, and I think I did say it, is just relax and you can get your money back. Like they'll refund the whole flight to you. That's the thing.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. I was like, you have to just, this has happened to me before. It just calm down. You have the right to get your money back now. So just don't make a stink because you're making it worse for yourself. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, actually, I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was and it was one of those things where, like, by the time I got home, I was so, like, crazed. I was, like, yelling at somebody on the phone, which I never do. But, you just call up the bank and, like, I didn't get the seat I booked, so it goes away.
But I'll tell you something. United would have probably given him at the very least a voucher. They're very generous, I find, at least with their miles and vouchers. Now, that could be like white girl privilege. I don't know. But I'm sorry.
Well, they should have offered it immediately when they said, like, get out of your seat.
Listen to me. Without a doubt, I agree. I don't know the rules. He got fucked. But in the meantime, so he's in between us. He had the worst breath, by the way. I was like vomiting the entire flight. His breath smelled like hot garbage. And then the drink thing came around and I was like, ooh, finally. Like he can like moisten the old gullet. And it did not do anything. But I was like also laughing like this is just this 36 hours. Like I'm talking down a guy who nearly got arrested. Like all of this stuff is happening. But it weirdly, like a motherly instinct kicked in for me where I was like, I would have been pissed too. I was on his side, but I was like, listen, you're fucked, but like, just sit here and shut up and let's just go because otherwise we're fucked. And he did do that. He kind of calmed down. Then, the guy, remember I thought the guy Portuguese who knew me, y'all, his name was Josh. He had two name tags on. One, his name is Josh, and the other that he spoke Portuguese.
Oh,
which by the way, guy next to me, face tats, spoke fluent Portuguese. And so they were chatting and I was saying to I don't know the guy's name, but I was like, oh, isn't he so lovely? And he was like, he's so nice. Like Josh really came to the rescue.
Yeah.
He came around, offered us free drinks, free food. Like he was so sweet to us. And then the end of the story is that when I got off the flight and I knew he was going to do it. Isn't this funny? I got off the plane. He made a Ziploc bag with like 100 wipes in it for me. He was like, thank you again. I was like, you're the best.
Nice.
So that was nice. Also hot pilot. I was like, good night. Meanwhile, I had face tattoos. I looked so bad. I was like, bye. Left the plane. And that was it. Came home. And that was it was like, I felt like Uncle Matt from Fraggle Rock, where I was like in New York in my like cargo shorts. Like I'm an out of town or like, how do things work here? I've never been to the big city. Like it just felt, everything was breaking me there. And that was my 36 hours in New York.
Amazing.
But Dan, anything else? Thank you for letting me share my tale.
No, that was amazing.
It's a good bitch and the thing with the bags and then getting pushed by the old man. And his wife was like, in a foreign language, was just like talking him down. And I was like, this man, he elbowed me kind of hard. It was like he was putting his backpack on, but like elbowed me. And I'm like, excuse me. He went, get rock around. It was nuts. It was nuts. I think my theory is that you're living in a city where, I hate to say it, but at the moment, nothing seems pretty there. Everything is like dirty. We have a mayor who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. We have nobody can afford to live there. When it comes to Ubers, food, housing, everyone financially is so strapped. And then on top of it, what benefit do you get from that? Living on top of one another, having to deal with each other nose to nose at all times during a pandemic. Like I'm telling you, it makes sense. It's why I left.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is, I can sense in my own self that this is not healthy for me. Like, I can't be here during this.
I mean, I'm having a great time, but I am sticking around in Brooklyn. Like,
but you're in Brooklyn, which is a little different. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I was just before this, I was in my community garden, like, you know, tending to my plants and stuff. Like, I'm having a fun time.
How are the veggies in your little garden, Dan?
Oh, they're well rooted and flowering, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Couldn't say the same about me. Couldn't say the same about me. I'm not well rooted and I'm not flowering. Do you want to talk about this thing you sent me quickly? Dan sent me this article from medium.com. Now I have a question. The name of the author is Queen Mo.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Is this written by a man or a woman?
I thought it was written by a man, but then I got to the bottom and the name of the author is the same as the wife's name that he's like bragging about. So maybe it's like,
I actually don't even know if this is going to make sense to me. The thing says, a husband's theory, why men leave women like my wife. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe. Hold on. I met my wife when I was 30. She was 23. They clicked. Oh no, man. I was the 11th man in her life. Here's my point is, imagine that you're that wife and you just like all of a sudden the times thwacks against the door. You know,
yeah.
Shake it open. You're excited. And it just says, why men?
By the way, it is by her husband. Like, I clicked through and it's by Jane, even though it looks like it's by Queen. I see.
Is the wife's name Queen Mo? Is that what it is?
Yes.
I see. I like that name. Queen Mo. Yeah. It sounds like a Simpsons thing. I don't know. It's making me laugh. Why men leave women like my wife? What is the point of this, Dan? It says she's really pretty. Most would call this beauty, maybe this is where you got it from, conventional. The common consensus is my wife is gorgeous. Second, she is tall and slim. I'm like seething as I read this. I'm like, although shapely, accompanied by large breasts. I wouldn't want any man writing this article about me, like describing me like this. She looks strong and he's describing like a Labrador. Silk and beautiful hair that cascades right down her crack. But what is this? It's just like raving about his wife. And it says, the conventionally pretty woman, when a woman is stunning, it means two things. One, everywhere she goes, people notice her, which means they also notice you. Oh, that's interesting. As a man. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he finds that a challenge. I mean, that was my, when we went to the polo club, like everybody was eyeballing you and I was like, how do I measure up to this?
Wait, are you being serious when you say that?
Yeah, kind of, because I don't go to these fancy places.
Oh, that's
nice.
I
think I looked okay, but yeah.
No, but were they looking at me is what I meant. They were looking at me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dan. Oh, man,
Dan.
That was nice. I wore a very fitted, dare I say, conventionally shapely dress.
Certainly was.
Thank you. You know who did not check me out one time was the jacket designer.
Oh,
he never looked
focused
over.
And he was on his phone. Yeah.
He was on his phone a lot. Then it says, when someone's beautiful, the partner is now under a critical lens. Well, I know I have like girlfriends, or I've read like women who marry like hot guys. And I'll say this as someone who has shockingly dated handsome men, you know, here and there. You do feel jealous, actually, because you're just like, oh, they're going to get so much attention. And then you're
interesting.
And then it is a real thing where it's like, why is she with him? Like, why is he with her? Why is he with her? Like, when he should be with me, I'm hotter than she is. There is like a weird competitive. Okay. Now, I never considered it from the opposite lens because I always feel like men aren't as insecure as women physically. Like they just don't care as much. But maybe. It says, too, she is the target for other attention. So if Queen Mo and I go out, will you call me Queen Mish? I like that name, Queen. It's so cute. And I go out. We don't make it obvious we're together. So men and women approach her. That's interesting. Even if they know we're together, they can't help themselves. Oh, so she's getting hit on constantly in front of him.
Yeah, that's like a deep water situation.
That's interesting. The intelligent woman. Wait, meanwhile, is this article about me? Is this article about me? The cliche, a man cannot stand a woman who is smarter than him. It's true. Unfortunately, they exist. Listen, it's true. This also comes into play regarding salary. Mm-hmm. Men don't want to be the person their friends make fun of because his partner is smarter or wealthier. To those guys, I say, get over yourself. I guess I'm going to die alone. Guess I'm going to die. Guess what this article is saying.
Would you make fun of a girlfriend or a guy friend?
Yeah.
Who's
never
husband or partner makes more than that? Like, come on.
You know what I would say?
It's absurd.
Teach me to be like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, please teach me to be like fucking you. Cause I'm not like that. My mother cries every day that I'm not like that. Believe me. The first thing she said was marry rich. Here I am. Here I am in an Airbnb in Miami, Florida, living the high life. All right. The needy woman. Sure, we've heard some guy somewhere call a woman needy. So you're a guy. You want to fuck, then fall asleep, but she wants to cuddle. You can't stand it. I'll read you the highlighted sentence coming up. Sharing something intimate with a person followed by orgasm. This is so sexy. And then the expectation to leave you alone is unrealistic. Yeah. Well, men are living in, you know what the fucked up thing about, by the way, I love this article and thank you for sending it.
Yeah.
The fucked up thing about men these days, I find, especially like maybe guys in their like early 30s, let's call it, not necessarily older men, is sex is so easy to get now that they actually are like, if anybody emotionally attaches to them, it's like, you fucking freak. Like, you want to emotionally attach. And I'm saying this amongst heterosexual couplings. I don't know if it happens in different, you know, couplings, but yes, there is. I'm sorry. Like, I get emotionally attached a little bit, unless I really hate the person, but like, you know, it happens.
Well, is it usually a daytime scenario or a nighttime scenario? Cause I think that's different. Well, like, are you cuddling during the, does the moment of intimacy followed by orgasm happen during the day? So then you have to cuddle for a while in the middle of the day. That's like annoying.
I mean, I think it mostly happens at night. Like, if you're dating somebody, you know, it's rare that you're like catching a matinee and then like fucking before heading to Bar Central. You get it. Like, it's not, although it sounds perfect to me, a perfect afternoon, may I just say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Post-sex affection wasn't on my radar. I've had women slam doors behind them in anger because of it. Yes, I've made mistakes. Causing a person to feel less human because of their needs is selfish. Wow, King Mo is amazing. I love King Mo. The horny woman, couldn't leave this one out, King Mo says. Oh, how scary it is to find a woman who truly loves sex. I'm telling you, nothing freaks a guy out. How can this possibly be true? I don't believe this. Nothing freaks a guy out more than a partner who is sexually freer than they could ever be.
I could see that.
I don't know if I buy that. We should trade phones, trade apps for a day, because I'm telling you. Actually, that would be great. It scares men so much they found a way to control it. Wow, this is real. By degrading women through language. Sluts, whores, bitches, C words, but he uses it. Mm. We're not strangers to the narrative that men can have as many partners, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he has a point. He's right. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Like a woman who just like wants it all. Like, and it's funny if you flip that narrative that we just described of a woman who like wants to fuck and get out without intimacy, she's like an actual freak. Think about it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Kind of. It's not me, but like, yeah.
Right. Right. Okay.
So basically this article.
But for guys too, like you have to have like a little bit, like have a 30 seconds of like calming down before you leave.
Well, you've never had sex at a Taco Bell drive-thru. By the time that crunch wrap's ready, piping hot, my wrap's all done. Wait, let me say something though. This article is so funny because basically it's a love letter to his wife.
Yes.
It's like really kind of funny. It says nothing real. It's all about how she's stunning, smart,
perfect,
a freak in the sheets, intelligent,
rich,
so fucking rich, needy in the best way. And I'm expecting him to come to like some sort of conclusion as to why. I mean, basically his point is that weaker men than him are intimidated by women like this, but he's King Mo, baby. So he's into this, because literally the end of this article, which I'll read because I know you have to go, says, she is a threat to men's self-esteem, feeble egos, so men leave her. Wow, this is really true, though. And part with colorful words of farewell. Goodbye. Oh, I wish somebody would break up with me like this. Goodbye, you crazy, needy slut. I wish. Dan, will you please sign off our segment saying that to me? I need to hear a man say that to me, but let me finish it. Goodbye. I wish. Oh, I would be over the moon if someone said goodbye, you crazy needy slut. I'd be like, this motherfucker don't play. Because in the end, it is never, exactly, it is never a man's fault. Until next time, my friends, this last sentence I'm going to read, I can't even believe my eyes. I can't open my eyes. I'm doing the waiting for Guffman, Catherine O'Hara thing where I'm closing my eyes and I'm looking at you. Like, I can't. Until next time, my friends, fuck well and celebrate women for all they are, because let's face it, they don't need us. You know what? I like it. I actually like it. And I agree with them. I swear I do. We don't. That's the thing. Like in this day and age, that's what's threatening Republicans, is that we don't need them. And so they're like, really? Yeah, well, now you're going to have our fucking babies. Like, you got it too good, women. We're going to fuck you over. Yeah. So in a way, King Mo, I agree. By the way, our guest this week is one of the funniest women. I am obsessed with her. She is not only hysterically funny, she's so friendly. She's wonderful. She's the star of the second season of Starstruck, which she's created. She's really brilliant. And I'm very excited to befriend her because I love her. Rose Matafeo, she's here with us. But before we get to her, Dan, do you want to sign off on this extended edition of the Dan Mish Hour?
Goodbye, you crazy needy slut.
All right. Now I'm feeling something. Yes. All right. There's a bag of wipes at the door for you, Dan. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. All right. Let's get to Rose. She has a show called Starstruck. Season one, one of the best. I mean, there's a reason you're like now known in America. The show is so hilariously funny. You star in it. You created it. You wrote it, produced it. It is streaming on HBO Max. Season two is out now. But Rose, you're also on my favorite English show called Taskmaster.
So good.
And it's the fucking best. It is. I actually have more questions about Taskmaster just because
honestly,
so much of it. Anyway, Rose Matafeo.
No, hang on. No, I'm just so, it's so exciting to hear someone with an American accent, enjoy Taskmaster, UK Taskmaster. Because it's just so strange that, it's made it its way across there. It's the best, right? I'm a fan of it. I watch it myself. I'm watching the latest series that's out, coming out on the UK week to week, obsessed with it. It's the best.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason why I know it, and this is, again, like this entire interview is just a single white female you into like genuinely being afraid of me. I spend so much time in London. I've been there like close to probably 8 months during the pandemic.
Wow.
So I am knee deep in Tipping Point, The Chase, Taskmaster, Tenable. What are the other shitty shows?
Oh my God. I mean, I'm a real escape to the country gal at this moment. Yeah. Like all of those, buying, you know, like a French chateau and doing it up. Like I am just, that's all I'm doing during the days and I'm loving it. It's so good. It's so good to have someone who does the same cultural references.
Yes.
Someone says Tipping Point, I'm going, this is the person I can talk to. We can hold a discussion.
Rose, let me say something. If that's all it took to connect us, then buckle up, because I watch it every night. I have like a VPN. The sound of the discs moving, the other ones, the chiming. I love the host who I'm in love with, like all of it.
You know, I met him, Ben Shepherd.
Tell me everything.
No, okay, stop. So it was amazing. He came to a Taskmaster recording. He came to a Taskmaster recording, you know, in the studio when during my series. And I was like, and a lot of people like in the lead up to like, you know, Starstruck press or whatever, they always ask the kind of question, like, who are you most starstruck by? And genuinely, my answer is Ben Shepherd every time. I'm like, it was crazy. Like I saw him. I was like, it's so great to meet you. And then he said, and he hasn't come good on this, that I could come and do Celebrity Tipping Point, and I haven't been able to yet. My friend Joel Dommett did it, and I was like, well, hang on, like, did Ben actually, like, you know, get you involved? I am desperate to do it because it's just the best out there.
First of all, for those Americans who don't know Tipping Point, it's an afternoon game show. It's on at, I think, 4 o'clock UK time. And when they do the celebrity editions, which are like special weekend editions, they dig up the corpses of people that have like two strands of hair, one tooth. I mean, I've never heard of any, it's Celebrity Tipping Point. They wheel these Hannibal Lecter people out. I'm like, I have no fucking clue who this person is.
Yeah.
You're actually famous. Like you have, and you're young. Like you have your whole life ahead of you.
I do all of the, well, now it's, I mean, I'm just astonished that I get to go on the celebrity versions of these things. I'm like, what? Like I did Celebrity Pointless, yeah, which is another great game show, and with my friend David. And that was so much fun because I have a love and respect for the medium of television. And game shows and specifically. Like I just every game show I'm just like such a fan. So I do get lots of offers of doing all these like, you know, game shows and stuff, and like to the extent where agents had to step in and being like, I don't know if you should be doing this at this point in your career. I'm like, but I want to win the games. So yes, I think hopefully it comes across as some sort of, I mean, a terrible reference, but you know, the James Franco kind of, you know, when he did the soap opera thing and people were like, oh, it's ironic. Oh, it's kind of cool.
Like, and so tongue in cheek. Meanwhile, I'm driving off in like a new Fiat crying from happiness. Like, I can't fit in it. I'm just like, I fucking love game shows. To me, it's the one thing that combines the benefit of a talk show. You have regular people. It's their moment to shine. Mm-hmm. It's the true 15 minutes, and watching idiots lose. Yeah. And smart people win. It is just the most satisfying thing. I wonder in England, because I have a big, I have so many chips on my shoulders. Oh, I'm so excited to tell you about all of them. But here in the States, we don't really have a lot of female game show hosts.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of, please, I could write a thesis on the difference between UK and American television when it comes to the appearance of people. Like in the UK, they're happy to put just any talented person on TV. Here, they'll take the least talented person with abs and make them a star. It's just, it's deadly to me. It's why I hate it here. But there are some female game show hosts in England?
There's Victoria Corrin Mitchell, who does Only Connect. She's on Taskmaster, a more recent series of Taskmaster, which hopefully will come out. She is, she's incredible. She's also like a poker champion. And very intelligent woman. She hosts Only Connect. I know that Sandy Totsford does, QI, which is
Panel
show vibe. But I don't think there's nearly enough women doing game shows and panel shows. And I mean, it's the same with late night, isn't it? Like, you know, in the US and everyone's like, it's time. And you're like, it's never time. All you got to do is hire a woman. They had to make a whole fake ass movie about a woman hosting a late night.
It's hilarious.
Late night talk show. And even then you're like, well, so is this what we get? So we get the movie Late Night, but we just don't actually get a late night.
Well, now we're so busy having our forced births that there's going to be no way now there's going to be a woman in late night because of all the kids we're going to be forced to have.
It's interesting what you say about like the difference in like the UK and the US in terms of like the people you see on television. It's so funny. The only, the difference of like the show coming out in the UK and in the US is like, it's so funny. And I've said this before, like in other interviews, but it's like such well-intentioned body positivity about my character and myself and Starstruck, which is the funniest fucking thing ever, because it's like reading tweets where you're like, God, it's so refreshing to see a mid-sized woman just grab her chubby stomach on set, on recorded forever on a television series. She is so brave to be out there with her bit and her body looking like that and like a normal gal. And I'm just like, oh my God, no, it didn't even cross my
God.
Mind that being
that so funny
in my show was an act of bravery. It's such a funny thing. But then it's, you know, it's such a lovely thing because, you know, clearly there's not many people, you know, maybe just in mainstream US television with bodies like that. And in the UK, it's a bit more, you know, you see a bit more diversity in that sense. But yeah, it was so funny of just like, just getting tweets. Like, thank you for representing mid-sized women. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I thought I was skinny. I was like, skinny.
I'm howling like legitimately with dying laughter because it is not easy here. I was on a panel show on a daytime show that's like the Loose Women of America. Yeah. And I'm 6'1". And these women who are quite well known are all 5'2". And when I tell you that it looked like a Lord of the Rings reboot every day, we would walk out into the stage and we'd be sitting. They'd have to have my chair literally. I'd be on a sitting cross-legged on a mat. as they were on actual chairs with legs, and I was still hulking over them. And it's really hard, like, even forgetting the weight. It's funny you say that, because lately, like, I've always been someone who's been very self-conscious of my curves, you know, and not being super skinny and whatever else. And everyone's always like, you're so hard on yourself. I'm like, I'm not hard on myself. I'm a realist. Like, if I go to a store and I can't find something that fits, I'm going to talk about it. It happened, you know? But that being said, now in this kind of horrible age we're both existing in, I'm like, wait a minute, should I be like leaning into that to make money? Like, who cares anymore? Maybe I'm like, yeah, I'm a fat bitch. I eat every fucking day. So much fucking disgusting food. Pay me money to talk about what a disgusting slob I am daily. Cause let me get that check. That's how I feel.
I think it's particularly, I just don't see it happen as much with men at all. I think the nuance, but which is specifically like the nuances and complexities of being a human being in this world, men are allowed to have so many of those, and women are just constantly forced to be categorized into, in it's, and it's like, you know, well-intentioned categories. And you're like, oh my God, you're like, you know, a plus-size woman, a mid-size woman, all this stuff, but it's still this weird category that you kind of put in, and then, you know, kind of it's somehow commodified in a way, and it just feels so so weird. It's like, oh my God, you're talking about you being amazingly 6'1". That's an incredible height, and I'm going to add it to the height charts that I hold. I was in the Kelly Clarkson show last time I was in LA, and it was Kelly Clarkson and Jessica Alba, and no joke, go look at the photos like of us all having to pose together. I look like I'm posing with my two little gorgeous doll daughters. Like, I look like the mother who like has like, you know, I look like old mother Hubbard or something, like, with, you know,
so I'm gonna die. That is so funny.
Tiny ladies underneath my arms. So yeah, I know. I feel you on that.
My grandparents on my dad's side were only like 5'1". My joke is like, we don't ask too many questions, you know, because I don't really want to know. But that being said, when they came to my college graduation, and we were like not that close, but they walked on either side of me, and everyone was like, who the fuck are they? And I joked that I showed up with good and evil, because they looked like my they were so little. I was like, no, it looked ungodly, is the answer. Small, and it just didn't look like it didn't look right. Also, I love that you say mid-sized women. Every time you say that, which I've never heard that term, I think of a mid-sized sedan. Like, only in America, we only refer to cars that way. So I'm like, mid-sized.
You know, and it kills me that I'm even like, you know, use the terminology in the sense of like, you know, because
I know
there is, like, I'm not fucking mid-sized. Like, I'm just a fucking size. Like, I'm, I don't know. I'm going to stop identifying with anything. I think actually that's what I'm going completely identityless. I'm going to slip away into the shadows. I'm going to become mist. I am, no one will know what I am.
Mid-sized mist.
Yeah. Even when I'm mist, I'm mid-sized. Even when I'm mist, I'm brave for kind of putting myself out there.
You're so hilariously funny. We have a lot of mutual friends.
Oh my God.
Obsessed with you. I'm like, I feel now like I don't even want to interview you. I just want to like watch you and laugh. I'm in that mode. I'm like, keep talking. How tall are you, by the way?
I'm 5. Oh shit, I always get this wrong. I'm 177 centimeters, which I think is 5'10".
Yeah, that's nice and tall. Okay.
5'10", yeah.
It's my mother's height. It's the perfect height because you can wear heels without making people flee. Like, if I put heels on, it's an immediate fleeing on the streets, because I'm like 6'3", 6'4" in heels. It's a lot.
It's gorgeous though. My God. I mean, I remember though, there was a bit of starstruck where because I'm the same height as Nikesh. And, but then like, there was a bit where I was wearing heels, and it was like, and I was like, I'm going to take find a reason to take the heels off, like, and hold them. Because otherwise in an argument, I'd be like over him. Like, you know, like I'm on stilts. Like, I'm like, I'm winning that argument. I think we have to be kind of the same height to have an argument. I'm not sure.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Yeah. My mom is also taller than my dad. And in every photo they took of me, like growing up together, she would take her heels off. And then when we'd get the actual paper prints, would fold them at the knees and then put them in frame so that you couldn't see her bare feet, like in gowns and everything. Yeah.
God, that is an incredible thing. I look up when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm trying to like date anyone or date men. I often look up famous celebrity couples where the woman is taller than the guy.
It's the best.
So it's like, I've got them on, like, you know, Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, obviously. Oh. Anne Bancroft and Mel Brooks. A huge one for me.
Obsessed. I call them Tolly Smallies.
Tolly Smallies.
That's what I refer to them as, Tolly Smallies. Rod Stewart always beats giants.
Yes, he does.
Tom Holland and Zendaya are like the new Tolly Smalley couple that everyone's losing their shit about. But it does take a very confident... Stanley Tucci's wife is quite tall. She's your height, I want to say.
Is she? I've never seen them side by side. Okay.
Yeah.
He's always usually
They hate each other. They're never together.
No, because she's always recording his videos on his Instagram. So you can hear her voice. Oh my God, I sound like an absolute creep as well.
Yeah.
Like, I know the ins and outs of Stanley Tucci's online presence. But
he's wonderful.
Yeah, he's gorgeous. Great guy.
Before we get into Taskmaster, and I know, see, this is why all the tech things.
What sort of Taskmaster do you have? Because I always love to talk about anything about Taskmaster, because I feel like not enough people get the goss on it, you know?
They really don't, and I'm ready to ask. So I guess when I'm watching it, as someone who does have a lot of, who's like quite self-conscious, I'm funny, but like sometimes I don't want to look a fool. You know, I'm a little like, I always think like, would I let that go to be on the show? Like when they make me like put a pie in the face, and because everyone looks absolutely just stupid. Yeah. It purposefully makes people look ridiculous. Did you let that go? Was that something you were worried about? Because I feel like I would not be able to do the show because I would be like, I don't know, I'm not fun. But maybe it's just you're in the moment.
My question would be, how competitive do you think you are, though?
Oh, I'm genuinely one of the most competitive people. Like I'm wild.
Which devil wins? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're competitive, you'll just do anything to win the thing. So I think to be honest, I'm not like the coolest cucumber. Like I am so, I have no, there's nothing to preserve, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? There's no dignity to preserve. There's no coolness to preserve in my persona, my outward facing persona. So I have nothing to lose. So, and I'm deeply competitive. So I will do whatever it takes to sort of get the job done. The only thing I was ever a bit self-conscious about in Taskmaster was being perceived as competitive. I very much wanted to be the people's princess, which really worked in my favor because, Ed Gamble, was like the villain.
Who I love.
And my villain. Yes. I mean, Ed's one of my good friends. And we fought a lot on the series of Taskmaster. There's a real sibling energy to it where we'd yell at each other quite a bit. But I did tell, I did his podcast, the Taskmaster podcast, and I did say to him, I was like, I wanted to be in his congeniality, you know what I mean? But I would do, I look so stupid in so many of the tasks. But the times you feel most stupid is when you like, fuck up for like a tiny thing that you just didn't read the task right, or you just didn't get away with something, and like they do like a, you know, slow motion replay or something, and like you miscounted something or whatever, and that is the most humiliating thing. I was tearing up in some episodes because I was so upset about how
I feel it.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those American listeners or any listeners who don't know the show, give like a 15 second, like what is the show for people who've never seen it?
Yes, it's a very good idea. So Taskmaster is a show created by Alex Horn, who co-hosts it with Greg Davis, who it's basically five comedians have to do a number of tasks and compete doing those stupid tasks. So like tasks that we would have done in our, they're at the level of like, create like an egg timer, but not using any like means, like traditional means of like timing something. So you just have to like make something up. Or like one of them was serenade yourself. Or one of them was like some of them are like really annoying ones, like taste all these fucking ice blocks and like guess what flavors they are, and then blindfolded, rearrange them into the colors of the rainbow. It's it's from the mental mind of Alex Horn, who's the best and the worst at the same time.
Like a sick genius, obviously.
A sick genius, yeah. And
you talking about it, sorry to interrupt you, talking about it, what I realized would be the worst thing for me is not being able to like complete a task that everyone else did. Like watching the footage back and seeing something simple. Like a lot of the things are like, wait, like there was one right where the bag had to hold a bunch of stuff and just like weird things, and not being able to be smart enough for something when I really pride myself on being always like, I have to be the smartest, you know, I'm annoying. Really? I think it would actually kill me.
Yeah. It's such a public humiliation because So basically all five contestants, you know, you film your tasks in isolation. You're not allowed to talk to each other about any of it. Like, it's a real hard rule. Like, even if, like, me and Ed are friends, but we would never, ever, ever talk about it. Like, wow. We could never talk about the tasks, never say how we went, anything like that. Until we shoot all of the studio based stuff, which is where we all, you know, are in the room together watching the tasks for the first time since we did them. And for the first time reacting to how we did and how everyone else did.
Oh my God.
Like, everything that you see in the studio is so, like, raw and real. There's, like, nothing you can rehearse with your reactions to it.
Oh my God.
And that's what I think the massive strength of the show is that, like, it's showing these, like, such the true nature of some of these comedians. Like, sometimes you see your favorite comedian's going to be on it, and they turn into someone else. And that's what
would happen to me.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny. Oh, I would be the villain. I don't know if you know Omarosa from The Apprentice.
Yeah, like,
I would be the most hated.
That word, just saying Omarosa is like the most, like, It's like a trigger point that you've taken me back to being Sinead. Omarosa.
I would be the Omarosa of Taskmaster. And actually, you know what I realized hearing you talk about it? Like, I want to go on it and I would be very good. I just had that moment where actually, listen, I want to move to London. We should talk about it.
Yeah.
Because how do I do that? And also, am I making a huge mistake? I'm ready to cut off all of my American roots. Like, I'm
really?
I've had it. Yeah.
Where are you from originally in America?
I'm actually from Miami, where I am as we speak. I try to make the angle look as least Floridian as possible, which includes having removed this. This is an Airbnb, which was behind me for some of my Zooms. And I was
gosh.
So I took that down. But I'm from Miami, lived in New York.
What a huge thing to come from. So then you lived in New York. And then if you love New York, then I think London is a great place. Like, I only just went to New York again for the first time since I was, you know, young. Recently, and I was like, oh, this is the best. Like, I can see.
How many days were you there for?
I was there for maybe 3 weeks in total, maybe, or just under 3 weeks or something. Doing all, like, press stuff for Starstruck when it came out, and bits and bobs. But it was cool, man.
It was fun. Well, listen, there's no place more fun, including London. Like, New York will be, but it is, when you've been there a long enough time, you truly feel like you've been in a war. Like, I feel I'm a Vietnam vet. Like, I just need, like, a wheelchair. And, I'm just.
You've got to get to London.
Well, you missed me by a month. I was there. I'm basically pushing it to the exact 6 month visa thing and praying that they don't, like, yell at me, but. We'll see. I'm hoping to come back for the summer. I just really enjoy it. First of all, I like dating there much better than in the States.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. Tell me more about this, because I live in London and I don't know how to date here.
It's because you're famous. That's the
problem. No.
I'm going to tell you the first problem, because you're famous.
But
sorry.
No, okay. Oh my God. But That did happen on Hinge, actually. It was very funny.
See?
Like, I was talking to all these guys, and then, like, I won the Edinburgh Comedy Award, and then all of them were like, oh, congratulations on the Comedy Award. I actually saw you. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
No, it's over. It's over. Wait.
When I've seen me do stand up, they know so much about me already. They have the upper hand, because I
completely.
Oh, it's so bad, man. Okay, so you enjoy dating him, or why? What was the difference?
Well, I do because, the longer I've done it, now I'm, like, also, like, embittered. Like, I guess it's okay. You're 100% right that I have a real issue, especially without, like, permission, I guess, when guys will go and then, like, binge my podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say on dates, like, I'm like, oh, I don't talk about dates on the podcast, because I'm always like, well, I wouldn't want someone talking about what I'm like on a date, you know. But the problem is, they're getting performer me, not me. And there is a more tender, not by much, but a slightly more tender woman who on a date, like, I'm flirty or I'm a little more feminine, you know, it's that kind of it versus this host mode that I get into where I'm got to be funny and this and that. And so it bothers me, because I'm like, all right, you think this is who I am and that you're dating this, like, hologram person, but actually I'm probably much worse, frankly. actually, you're getting a much worse version of me. So I don't know what your issue is, but there's no way to say to someone, don't Google me, or don't, like, how can you tell someone that? You just have to be like,
and it's also so specific to, like, I think it's different for, like, you know, that's probably why actors, like, you know, fuck so much, because they don't have, they're never putting their actual personalities out there, because usually they're quite boring. You know, if you ever read like an interview with an actor, it's shocking when they have anything of interest to say. But like, but with comedians and stuff, it's like you are getting a, you are getting a form. I know what you mean. Like you're getting a form, like a shadow realm version of like what you are as a person. Or like, you know, it's heightened for whatever the medium is, if it's podcast or if it's stand up and stuff. And it, it, even though it's rooted in something that begins with you and your personality, it's not you. And it's so fucking
it's hard.
Frustrating because it's just, it is. It's like having, it's like when you have, you get your face painted and then you forget that you got face paint on. And then, like, you know, you look like a tiger to someone at a carnival or something. And you're like, what are you looking at? You're like, oh, no, yeah, all of the screeds of material that you can Google before this day.
In my mind, when you said getting your face painted, sorry to interrupt you. When you said getting your face painted, I immediately, and I can say this because I'm Jewish, pictured me in a Charles Manson cosplay with like, I was like, yeah. Totally, just like a swastika tattoo, being like, "This isn't me. I'm Jewish." Hey, I don't know. My went there.
Music, he was great, but he does not his values. Okay,
it's such a nice house. Oh my god. Anyway,
yeah, oh my god.
What were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
So wait, so dating in London is a bit easier because they don't know your oeuvre.
I'll say this. I'm going to tell you this. And I lived in LA and New York. I'm 40 years old, Rose. I know this is where you pretend to be shocked. I am at the point.
I don't believe you. And I think you're lying. But yeah, go on.
That's the perfect answer. She's the best. Mm-hmm. I find that in England, like first of all, I'm like more attractive there. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is. You're not English. So I'm not offending you when I say that, like, I think going, because you're like a New Zealander, I consider you. You go there and just the vibe...
I'm not
different.
Attractive in London, which is quite funny.
Me
being from New Zealand doesn't up my attractiveness levels in this country. I don't know. What do you think if I come to America, though? Do you think being from New Zealand via London will up my attractiveness? Like,
without question. And also, I'm going to be honest. I think my energy on you, which is not, is sadly not mine. You seem like more hipstery, like more Brooklyn. You're also young. So I could see you actually killing it in like a Brooklyn and finding some like cool Bushwick guy who would worship you because you're so funny and glamorous and fun and whatever else. I could see that for you. I couldn't go out with a Bushwick guy. It's just not me. Miami, everybody looks like Pitbull.
You're gorgeous. You're glamorous. You're tall. You're beautiful. You're going to do well for a long time. I only have a very short amount of time. My kooky, kitschy, whimsical shit is going to be charming. And then it will soon become, like within 5 years, I will be a kook, like a genuine kook. And nobody likes an eccentric older woman. This is the problem is that I'm not going to be a hot, bumbling professor as an older woman. I'm going to be a person who likes to, you know, I have all my hobbies and interests. And sure, it's interesting when you're, I'm a 30 now, but I still think I'm striking out with even the hipstery boys because, first of all, half of them do secretly hate women.
That's with every man. Let's start there and then move our way down. Yeah, go on.
No, they don't. They always have gorgeous, gorgeous girlfriends who have like, you know, who wear a lot of delicate, like golden chains.
I always say this. They look like Anthropology models. Wait a minute. I have a whole thing about this where I'm like, look, I've never milked a cow. I don't own frocks. I don't look good in a floral pattern. It's funny. I went on a couple dates with this guy. I'm sure he's listening. He was one of the podcast people. Hi, if you're out there. Sorry, it didn't work. But it was one of those things where, no, for sure he's listening, where it's like, he was cute, you know, nice enough. But I was like, this will never work because this person is going to end up with an Anthropology model like this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not willowy enough. I am a sturdy. If a hard breeze comes, I don't move. Yeah. Like, I am sturdy. I'm there. I can eat an outdoor brunch in a windstorm and enjoy every bite. Like, I just feel, ugh. But weirdly, I feel like in England, the guys love that more. I don't know what it is. Maybe the American thing too helps. I think they also respect funny women. Whereas in America, when you're funny, they go, oh, we love funny women. They like women to laugh at them. You know, there's a different
kind of a banter. There's a vibe of banter. Well, yeah.
Yes. They love banter. Let me say this, though. I learned the hard way about British men. Obviously, a lot of them love to drink. We don't love that. they are very tight with their emotions and their feelings. So often it's really hard. And I probably am a little bit too. So I need someone to kind of like pull it out of me a little bit. And oftentimes they're a little bit tight. Like they're not affectionate or they don't compliment, or there's things that I'm like, does he like me? Like, I don't even know what we're doing here. And that is a more English thing than American thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Should we write a book?
I have nothing else to say.
I need to like get your number to text you literally what happened to me yesterday on a date. Because which I didn't think was a date, but it was the most shocking. You couldn't have written it better about how the rejection was amazing.
Rejection? No.
It was. It was a rejection of me kind of being like, look, you know, I'm crushing you. And then I won't spoil it, but the reply did start with, ha, ha, ha. So that happened.
Oh, no.
So like,
that sucks.
And that's cool. And it's just such a joy to be.
Were you drunk when you said that? Like when you said you had a crush? Had you been drinking? Because I feel like that took so much courage face to face.
I probably had been, yeah. No, I had courage. And I also was like, I'm 30 years old. I'm 30 years old, I should be. And then also I was like, I'm 30 years old. Mom was saying I've got a fucking crush on someone. I'm like, oh my God, I'm the problem. But it is very, I think you are right about British men. Also the problem is that there are far more gorgeous girls. There's more gorgeous girls in the world than there are men, is my opinion. So obviously men of a lower standard in terms of person, I mean, I'm not saying that you looks, but
just
a general standard are going to end up with stunning, beautiful women who are great because there are more statistically.
If you've seen Rosie, if you've seen some of the things that I've seen, I right now am going into like a Lieutenant Dan faraway gaze of some of the horrible things that I've had to witness in my life. You don't even know.
Oh my God.
Wait, let's promote your show. I want you here until two, but I know they're going to yell at me. So, Starstruck. Well, Starstruck is a dating sitcom, you created. I read that you created it drunk on a plane, which I really respect. Tell people about it. I know a lot of people have seen it. It's such a hit. It's so funny. You are really like, you really make me happy that you're working consistently, because I just look at you and you're so funny also here that I'm like, oh good, like someone good is successful. That makes me feel alive.
The show is a rom-com, which I didn't realize until like after I made it I was like, oh shit, it is a rom-com, because obviously everything in my life I'm just a person who's obsessed with love and romance, and so anything I make is usually to do with that. And so it was a real surprise when I was like, oh shit, okay, no, it's been marketed as a rom-com. No, it's about my character Jessie, who has a drunken sort of one night stand with a guy who turns out to be very famous, and then a rom-com ensues, and it's a premise that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, that's been done a couple times before. But I do think that it feels like a different, well, it's a version of that story, which is very much from particularly the first series, the woman's perspective in that scenario. And I think that's always, I think there was, whenever you watch like things like, whatever, Notting Hill, or you watch things like, look, God forbid, What a Date with Tad Hamilton. Do you know what I mean? These stories.
Top films.
These iconic stories. Where
sure.
Singing in the Rain. You know what I mean? Like
Gone with the Wind. Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. Singing in the Rain. The classics. Yeah.
But it's like, I think it was really fun to take that premise and go, actually, what would happen if this character of Jessie were in that situation, and that is that she would be A, unimpressed with his fame, B, like kind of freak out about it, and C, yeah, like almost try and sabotage it. It's a very fun character to play in that sense.
Did you base it on a real life situation? Like, because I'm sure, anyone in the business has had experiences with other people in the business. Were you taking from a real relationship?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I actually no, because which is was so boring to say, but it's never happened to me. But I know it's happened to lots of people I know. And I've kind of, you know, harvested stories, you know, from here and there of those situations. Because, I mean, we're in the age of like, God, I wish I was much more not open about how, like, I'm just a trashy gal who, like, loves Demois. But I do. Like, I love Demois. I love those stories of gossip.
Of course.
About these.
We're garbage people. That's why we are having fun. We are two pieces of mid-sized trash. And that's going to be the title of the episode. And that's okay. And that's once we admit it, it's fine.
It's fine.
Continue. I'm sorry.
I love it because it's like those, you know, you read those kind of gossip pieces or whatever, and you realize that, like, I think also the nature of celebrities changed so much throughout the decades, where it's like celebrities are so much more accessible to us. Like, it's social media, you know, like their entire lives are accessible to us. Like, the idea of mystery around these people who are famous is not, you know, advantageous, because it's not, you know, you can't make money off that. So I think the, and also we've just got way more celebrities in pop culture. We've got so many more celebrities. So they become, it becomes like a proper thing, which, like, oh yeah, I could bump into this person in a pub in the UK. That was a huge thing actually when it came out in the US, where it was like, hang on, this really famous, like, movie star is just at this place on New Year's Eve. And they're like, that's weird. That wouldn't happen. But I'm like, no, that does happen. Like, in London, it can happen. Like, there's a reason, like, goddamn Taylor Swift moved, like all of these UK, US celebrities moved to London, is that there is this type of anonymity that you can get here that I don't think you can get in the States. There's been stories through the years of, like, you know, just random meetings with, you know, celebrities who are on their own in a pub or, like, whatever, in a bar and stuff.
It's exciting.
Night. So, so it's a good jumping off point for a rom-com, I think.
Well, it's exciting until the realism hits, right? And then the reality sets in. And actually, your co-star did my radio show for season one. He's such a nice guy, by the way, a sweetheart, and adores you. And the show Starstruck, which season two is out now on HBO Max. Also, kudos, because I'm so sick of shows having like 55 episodes a season when I have like two eggs floating around that are dying to be inseminated and I can't be sitting on my couch. Like, give me six episodes. Like, the UK people get it. Six episodes, 10, except for Love Island, which they fucked up. But
exactly. I mean, it's too many. It's because also, like, you know, it's a whole different culture of making television here. It's like, you know, the culture of having a lot less money. So you've got a lot fewer writers. You know, it's just me and Alice Sneddon and Nick Sampson for the second series writing this. And we literally don't have time to, you know, the idea of making 10 episodes of, like, or 10 1-hour episodes. I'm just like, no.
That's deadly. It's and the shows are never good. Well. Like,
I know.
I'm like, listen, God, I have also no patience and very, very few friends. Rose Matafeo, so few friends. Last question. Are you doing a tour anytime soon? Are you going back to Edinburgh? What's happening?
No, not really. I mean, I don't have an idea. Like, I don't have an idea for a show, which is complicated. I feel like I've just got off this, like, hamster wheel of doing a new hour for so many years. And after I did Horn Dog, you know, I had a break because I'd started working on Starstruck directly after that. It's just like so much, it takes so much of your time, you know, and like to work on, trying to do stand up at the same time as I was doing Starstruck was like pretty hard. I did like an hour of like trying to do new like this last weekend. And it was just horrific because also I've done nothing with my life. I've been so busy with the show that I had nothing to write about, if that makes sense.
What if it's like, and that's our time.
And that's our
I'm joking.
And so what I've got to say is that one day I will return to Edinburgh. I actually am going to Edinburgh because for like a week, because my friends are doing an improv show. I do improv.
Ooh.
Involves there and here and there. But
that'll be exciting.
But I'd love to come and back and do a cool stand-up show eventually. But
I know. Well, listen, we're two water signs. I'm now looking at all your little facts. Cancerian, Pisces, always the best of friends. And I'll say this, we'd love to see you back on stage, but I also know that the anxiety of getting back to stand-up after the pandemic, for me at least, has been real. Like, the idea of being on stage, I'm like, what exactly, what the fuck would I talk about? Like, I don't want to talk about the pandemic. It's like, I'm just out of, and I can't talk about stories that happened beforehand. Cause then it's like, oh, she actually has no stories. Like, oh, she's
totally. No, it's like, it's, I even feel like the act of being on stage and like being in that mode, it's like not exercise. I mean, I say it's like not exercising for 2 years. I've not exercised for 15 years. Like, what am I talking about?
But I get it.
It's as if you were an athlete and you didn't train for 2 years. That's what
mental
it feels
exercise,
like.
Exercise, brain exercise. Our brains are just abs. Like, ours aren't visible. Other people have them on the stomach, not us.
And trust us, they're fucking strong. There's a six pack in that noggin. Okay.
My mental core is on that reformer machine, honey. Morning, noon, and night. Always doing some shit. Rose Matafeo, follow Rose at Rose_Matafeo and on Instagram at Rose Matafeo. Rose, honestly, I've been dying to meet you for the longest time. I think you're brilliant. You're wonderful. You're so funny and so lovely. And I'm sorry we don't have more time, but come back anytime. Call into Sirius. I have a live show in the morning. You should just call in one day.
I should call in. Like, no, yeah, I'll try. If I can get it working on FaceTime, maybe I'll just call.
No. That's a phone. That's like none of this.
What?
None of this.
I can ring on an actual phone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, and you can tell me when you're next in London and I'll come and like hitch your dates. I'll be the hitch.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. So that's the show. Let's Write a Hitch, except it's us. And we just buy side-by-side graves. That's the end. Okay. Rose Matafeo. Rose, thank you so much. You're lovely. And congrats on Starstruck.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye, Rose. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week. Midnight Snack is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Michelle Collins. Our producer is Anita Flores, and our sound engineer is Sam Kiefer. Special thanks to my friend, Dan Acton. You can listen to our ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use the code SNACK. Please rate and review Midnight Snack and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. You can follow us on Twitter at MNightSnackPod. That's MNIGHTSNACKPOD. I love spelling. Midnight Snackers, we would love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, questions, or topics we should chat about. You can leave us a voicemail on our party line at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at midnightsnack@earwolf.com. For more of me, tune into The Michelle Collins Show, live weekday mornings from 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Radio Andy, Sirius XM 102, and on the Sirius XM app. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L.